ERCOT's stakeholders endorse 2026 as methodology, written by Tom Kleckner and read by an automated voice. Austin, Texas ERCOT stakeholders, while raising concerns over the grid operator's use of conservative operations, have endorsed staff's recommendations for computing minimum ancillary service quantities for 2026. The proposed methodology was opposed by the Technical Advisory Committee's six-person consumer segment. They argued in filed comments that the overprocurement of ancillary services starves the energy market of resources just when it is poised to respond to scarcity conditions. ERCOT has been using its conservative operations approach as a response to 2021's disastrous winter storm Uri. The ISO sets aside larger amounts operating reserves, one of several out-of-market actions that consumers said inhibit the energy market. "We believe conservative operations undermines efficiency in the energy market," Mark Dreyfus, who represents several public power entities, said during TAC's August 27 meeting. "We all understood after the winter storm here the need for conservative operations, but we are in such a dynamic industry, and we've seen so many changes since then. We're somehow stuck with this policy adopted for a different world." Hari Kabasoran, Director of Market Analysis for the Public Utility Commission, reminded TAC of the PUC's 2024 report on ancillary services. The report found the grid operator's use of conservative operations should be maintained to balance system improvements made since the winter storm until additional data is available. Michelle, Richmond, Texas Competitive Power Advocates Executive Director, reminded members that any decision on conservative operations lies with the Public Utility Commission. "It seems like we keep going round and round with the same debate about conservative operations, when that's a policy call at the commission," she said. "We keep having the same conversation, and it keeps holding up a lot of the meetings about whether conservative operations is the right call or not. It just seems kind of an exercise in futility to continually have this debate when that's not a decision that anybody in this room or in this building has the ability to make or change." Staff said the AS methodology's focus is not on scarcity days or hours, but to ensure sufficient services are procured when capacity is available but otherwise may not be online or available in time to cover risks. TAC agreed with staff's proposal to continue using the regulation service methodology approved in December 2024, but after removing feedback from fast-responding reg service. That service will be retired when the real-time co-optimization plus batteries project is deployed later in 2025. ERCOT also wants to use a probabilistic model to establish quantities for ERCOT Contingency Reserve Service, or ECRS, and non-spinning reserve service. The model is designed to establish sufficient ECRS plus non-spin reserve quantities for those non-scarcity days when capacity is available but otherwise may not be online or available in time. Finally, staff recommends that minimum responsive reserve service from primary frequency response be updated to 1,377 megawatts, aligning with NERC standards. TAC approved the methodology 19-7, with three abstentions. The consumer segment was joined by AP Gas and Electric in voting against the measure. The Independent Market Monitor, which has said the ISO's use of ECRS has created artificial supply shortages, proposed an alternative approach using a 3-hour load forecast error and a 1-hour energy storage resource duration to reduce procurement but still maintain reliability. Requirements for IBRs. Committee members approved revisions to the nodal operating and planning guides that establish new advanced grid support requirements, including model quality tests and unit validation requirements, for inverter-based ESRs with a standard generation interconnection agreement, or SGIA, executed on or after April 1, 2025. TAC's Reliability and Operations Subcommittee granted NOG 272 urgent status at staff's request. Staff submitted the measure to provide greater support for system resiliency and to maintain stable operations with the prevalence of wind and solar IBRs. ERCOT says it has created and enforced in real time more than 20 generic transmission constraints, most of which are related to IBRs, and the monthly interconnection report says more than 100 gigawatts of IBRs could join by grid by 2026. "We're going to be talking about this for a long time," Engie North America's Bob Helton said, noting that a market-based approach would be more efficient by targeting grid-forming resources. ROS Chair Katie Rich, with Vistra Operations, said the changes do not close the door from looking at market aspects and noted ERCOT staff has committed to further developing a market-based approach. "I just want folks to know this is not the end-all be-all. You're taking a vote on what's before you today, but there is still more work to be done on this," she said. ERCOT filed late comments to both the NOGR 272 and PGRR 121 approach to target grid-forming resources where needed. Members unanimously approved the combined measures, 27-0. Jupiter Power, Shell Energy, and Vistra all abstained. $827 million in transmission projects OCI'd. Members endorsed staff recommendations for a pair of regional transmission projects with projected capital costs of more than $827 million. Both projects require board approval because of their costs. CenterPoint Energy's Baytown Area Load Addition project costs $545.3 million, as recommended by ERCOT's Regional Planning Group. CenterPoint submitted a $141.7 million estimate to address reliability issues caused by proposed new load in a region thick with petrochemical facilities. The project involves only about 45 miles of 138 kilovolt lines and adding capacitors. However, staff said its analysis found additional temporary work would be required for all structure replacements, accounting for about 45% of the capital costs, maintenance outage issues, and the expense of rebuilding 138 kilovolts lines among industrial facilities increased the project's costs. All consumers in Texas are being asked to spend $500 million for CenterPoint to be able to upgrade their system, said Beth Garza, representing residential consumers. Garza voted against the proposal, as did the Office of Public Utility Counsel and Retailer Rhythm. CenterPoint expects to complete the upgrades in January 2028. The Texas A&M University System RELS Campus Reliability Project has an estimated capital cost of $282.1 million and a projected October 2029 completion date. The project includes 40 miles of new 345 kilovolt double circuit lines to the RELS campus, constructing or rebuilding about 10 miles of 138 kilovolt lines, and expanding the campus existing 138 kilovolt substation with four additional 138 kilovolt breakers in the existing 138 kilovolt ring bus and four 345 kilovolts breakers in a ring bus configuration. The RPG shortlisted three options, choosing one that it said performs significantly better, serving a 1,200 megawatts load with a formal interconnection request in the study area. Texas A&M is working with four developers to build small modular nuclear reactors at the RELS campus. The project was submitted by Bryan Texas Utilities. Dreyfus, who represents BTU among other public power entities, abstained from the vote. As a University of Texas grad, I find it hard to vote for this, Reliant Energy Retail Services' Bill Barnes cracked. One possible solution would be to make Kylefield an interruptible load. Combo ballot approved. Tax combination ballot included six nodal protocol revision requests, single Nagar and PGRR changes, and a system change request, or SCR that, if needing board approval, will. NPRR 1265, implement procedures for distributed generation, or DG reporting by clarifying DG's definition and defining the new term, unregistered distributed generators. The NPRR would establish procedures for UDG reporting to ERCOT and reporting requirements from the ISO. NPRR 1266, specify that a transmission voltage customer that is a securitization uplift charge opt-out entity may not transfer its status to other entities. The measure adds a requirement that a transmission service provider or TSP associated with an electric service identifier originally granted opt-out status must compare at least monthly the names of transmission voltage customers originally granted the status and inform ERCOT of any changes. The TSP requirement excludes those that are securitization uplift charge opt-out entities. NPRR 1279 enables generation resources to file exceptional fuel costs that include contractual and pipeline mandated costs and strengthens the process for ERCOT and the IMM to verify the costs. NPRR 1283 require that any necessary subsynchronous resonance or SSR studies be complete and mitigation be in place before the initial synchronization of an ESR, new generation resource, or a settlement-only generator before the initial energization. NPRR 1290, Nagar 278, address several gaps and clarify protocol language to support the RTC plus B initiative's implementation. NPRR 1291, incorporate the PUC substantive rule setting a goal for average total residential load reduction into the protocols, specify data exchange methods and formats, and extend the deadline for posting the annual demand response report. PGRR 129 establish requirements for posting the grid reliability and resiliency assessment and update a list illustrating data sets and classifications. SCR 832, discontinue and eventually retire a report not being used by market participants,